Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's own, Gwen and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
People think these athletes are like robots and they just, time to go to sleep, must work out tomorrow. It doesn't really work like that.
And Chris Ello.
It's an honor of my friend Matt Scraby. It's called Caribbean Jerk.
You are a Caribbean Jerk.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, it's not, he's not back from the Caribbean.
But wait, is this the music you came up with?
No, this, I don't know what this is, actually.
It's Halloween, guys.
Is that what that is?
Oh, it's Halloween music.
I couldn't figure it out.
It has nothing to do with the World Series or the new manager.
It has everything to do with Chris Ello back in the building.
Or me being back. It's just all about scaring everybody. Or at least attempting to.
I'm trying to get the, there we go.
Good work, Scrape.
Nice work. Welcome in to Gwen and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr. Finally, my partner is back.
Oh,
Chris
Ello, fantastic.
He's the only human being on the planet that comes back from Tahiti, is in a rush to get to the studio to come to work.
You're right. We landed this morning in L.A., and I was like, so much going on. I mean, this is one of the greatest days in San Diego sports history.
Yes.
I mean, we don't have a lot of great days in San Diego sports history, Tony. I mean, we've talked about this many, many times, but for the first time ever, we can stick our chest out and we can crow all we want to. We've got the NBA Finals MVP. We've got the World Series MVP. Both from our own school. I mean, are you kidding? What are the odds of something like that? And, you know, but while I was gone, I noticed the Aztec football team moved into the top 25.
Indeed,
so
they did.
Tack that on. And then batting cleanup on the list of things that are important to me, the Padres introduced their new manager today.
They did.
And that shows you kind of where things stand right now, because I think that, you know, a lot of people are obviously not ecstatic about the hiring of Jace Tingler, but as we said last week when I called in, let's just give this guy a shot and see what he can do, because it's all going to come down to the players they get. Garrett Cole already said thank you to all the fans in Houston today.
Yes, he did.
And I hope that means that he's getting on a plane and heading out somewhere this way, because a player like that can turn the ball club around and make Jace Tingler look pretty smart pretty fast.
Indeed. Exciting news, exciting press conference. Padres named Jace Tingler their manager. We got a first chance look and sound of Jace Tingler. Got his first look at him and his family. And we're going to have an interview for you guys later on in the show. Him and A.J. Preller both will join the show. We got interviews right after the
press
conference.
We have our new Scare Scraby. While I was gone, I didn't realize Tony Gwynn Jr. turned into Dick Cavett. You wouldn't know who Dick Cavett was. He was one of the great first television interview guys.
So that was a compliment.
Great compliment.
Thank you very much.
To be compared to Dick Cavett, Dick Cavett had every big guest for 25 years, like before Johnny Carson.
I will say,
Dick Cavett was like it, man. If you got to Dick Cavett, you were everywhere.
That was not easy for Tony. I was standing right there. There was an audience. There was people taking pictures. And you knocked it out of the park.
Thank you.
Was any of them taking pictures of Jace Tingler, or were they all taking pictures of you?
No, I think they were taking it of Jace Tingler.
I know how people are around you.
I've been lucky enough to have situations like where I already know somebody coming into the thing. So that made the interview process pretty easy.
Yeah.
We'll have that for you. We also have some Ron Fowler audio. He talked to the press after the press conference was over. You guys want to stay tuned for that. But let's start with this MVP. Steven Strasburg.
Fantastic.
And he didn't even pitch yesterday, but still.
No, it was his,
It was. Only thing that could have changed it was Soto doing something crazy.
A walk-off or something.
And being behind. But
yeah.
I think it was pretty much sealed unless you got a result like that. And it just, man, that World Series was awesome to watch, man. It really was.
I loved every second of it.
I'm sorry, Chris.
Unbelievable. For the second year in a row, I did not see one pitch of the World Series. The only thing and I'm a sports talk show host, for heaven's sake. The only thing I saw was that play involving Trey Turner at first base in Game 6. I saw that from every conceivable angle on Twitter and all the complaining and all of the hullabaloo about that. But I certainly followed what Strasburg was doing. And in this day and age, you cannot watch the game down in Tahiti. They black it out no matter what you try to stream, no matter how you try to get around it. I couldn't figure out any way to do it. But I certainly followed everything he did. And to come up the way he did in Game 2 was spectacular to begin with. But then in Game 6, when you're back against the wall, 8 1/3 innings, it was the longest start from what I read by a World Series pitcher in an elimination game in, I think, since like Al Leiter or somebody way back when, in like 1997
right.
or 2000,
right.
something like that. So it had been 20 years since a guy had gone onto the mound under those circumstances and pitched that deep into a ball game. And you look, Bregman got him early for the home run. It doesn't faze him.
He just
goes right back to work. That is what has made him so much greater than he ever was before.
The beautiful thing is, because you were on vacation, there's a small tidbit that I'm almost positive you don't know about in that
first inning.
So based on what we saw the other 7 1/3 innings he pitched, Steven did an interview right after the game, and he was saying how their pitching coach put him on that he was tipping his pitches.
Uh-huh.
And when I went back and watched the game, because I had it taped, and the swings they were taking in that first inning were very similar to the swings that they took against Glasnow in that Tampa series when he was tipping pitches. Now, the difference is Steven Strasburg has better stuff, so he was able to kind of navigate it even before he knew he was tipping. But after he got the word that he was tipping, they got nothing the rest of the way. They didn't touch him the rest of the way. I think he gave up 3 or 4 hits for the rest of the game.
How does a guy in this situation still tip pitches? I gotta throw that question out there. I mean, you're in the World Series, for heaven's sakes. You've been pitching for 10 years. All of a sudden, they can find something that you're doing to tip a pitch?
That's where you gotta tip your cap to Houston.
Right.
Because they're really good at finding it. And for Steven, it was something that he had done previously this year, and they kind of went back to it. So he knew exactly what he needed to do to fix it. And it was just the fact he was able to fix it on the fly like that is remarkable. Now, I also want to send a thank you to Steven Strasburg, because he said some very kind things about my dad after the game.
And did he really? God bless him for doing that.
In a moment like that, that's the last thing I would expect for him to be thinking about.
It would not be the last thing I would expect to think about, Tony, because I was with him, you know, on that team with your dad. And I don't know what he said.
But I'm going to read it to you guys. Read it to me
what he said, and then I want to add a little something to it.
It was touching, and you know, I truly want to say thank you, because I certainly wasn't expecting him to have anything in that particular moment. I mean, he just won a World Series. He's just been crowned MVP.
Right.
But he had this to say. He said, my favorite player growing up was Tony Gwynn, and obviously his numbers were amazing. But growing up in San Diego, playing for him, being around him, quickly realized that the impact that he had on the game was so much more than just the numbers he put in. And he took great care of me, and he kind of showed me the ropes. And, I mean, the fact that, as I said, the fact that he was thinking about my dad in that particular situation.
That's how much he meant.
I certainly salute him and thank him for that.
It brings a tear to my eye just to hear you say that. I did the games that Strasburg pitched that 2009 season. They went into the conference tournament that year, and Strasburg won the big game early in the tournament, and then they needed to win one more to wrap up the tournament and be the conference champions. And despite the fact that Strasburg had a couple of days of rest, He could have pitched. Everyone thought he would pitch. Championship game. It was one of those double elimination where if you don't win the first one, you get to play him again. Yeah. They said, well, if they don't use him in the first game, then Tony will have to bring him back for the second game. It's Steven Strasburg. You're going for the conference title. He refused to do it, and that's your dad. And he did it because what he cared about was, yes, winning the conference championship, but he felt he had a good enough team to win it anyway. But more than anything, he was not going to use Steven Strasburg on short rest and risk anything with this young man's future. Yeah. That speaks so much to what your dad was all about, doing all the right things for Steven. And I think that right there is exactly why he said something about your dad last night.
Nevertheless, it is greatly appreciated from the Gwynn family. All right, we're going to step away, take a break. When we come back, I was able to get the first sit-down interview with the Padres' new manager, Jace Tingler. We're going to play it for you when we come back. And I can't everybody welcome my man. Can we get a round of applause for my man, Chris Ellery?
Sorry.
Gwynn and Chris.
They can't win no matter what country I'm in.
97.3, The Fan. This bed is trash.
I am scared to death.
Why are you guys being so poopy on Halloween?
The spookiest Halloween music.
It just doesn't sound scary.
Come up with something, will you? All right, stick with the music.
Thomas, I just look at Thomas like, hey, back me up. And he shook his head no.
He's not going to help you with that. Chrisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris back with you. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah. I don't know. Is your neighborhood one of those jam-packed neighborhoods?
Yes, it is.
So is mine. And so we're looking forward to seeing all the kids tonight. What's the number one costume this year, Scraby?
Gosh, I have no idea. Honestly.
Help me out on this. We looking at Avengers and stuff like that?
Probably Avengers.
Stuff like that.
I've seen some Spider-Mans. My son's Spider-Man.
Spider-Man this year. Yeah. All right. We'll get ready for everybody tonight. A little Halloween. Have some fun. Stay safe out there. Enjoy yourself. Tony Gwynn Jr.'s exclusive interview with new Padre manager Jace Tingler is right around the corner here in just a second. Padres did make four moves today because they have a bit of a glut.
Yes, they do.
Correct? They had 51 guys for 40 spots on the roster, and now they're down to 47 guys for those 40 spots because Travis Jankowski, who I'm sorry to see go, I will say that straight up. He winds up, was it a trade to Cincinnati?
Yes, for international cash.
Some cash. Okay, so Jankowski is now a guy that could be, and you know what? He's going to contribute to the Reds. I just have a feeling.
I can see it.
He's going to be here stealing some bases one night, and everyone's going to go, what do we let him go for? Robert Stock, the hard-throwing bullpen right-hander who never really was able to quite harness that, that 100-mile-per-hour fastball. He goes to the Philadelphia Phillies. Robbie Erlin becomes a free agent. And Brett Kennedy, who was in studio with us actually last year when he made his debut, he gets sent to AAA. So that's there's 47 spots for 40 guys left. The Padres have a little work to do as they continue to work on their 40-man roster. But before we hear the interview with Jace Tingler, I'm just curious, what were your thoughts of the overall, you know, just the feel about it, number one? Number two, how are the Padres been? I mean, help me out for somebody who hasn't been here for a couple of days. How have the Padres been reacting to the reaction they've been getting in town, which I assume is one of a bunch of yawns and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think they've handled it as good as you could for a base that's probably a little disappointed that it didn't get the guy that everybody assumed was going, or guys that they assumed would be involved.
Right.
And I think, you know, rightfully so, A.J. Preller has basically said, listen, I trust this guy. You know, he wanted to bring somebody in that would fit what the philosophy of the organization has been, without having to, you know, with you know, because most of the time you don't, even a GM, they can do as much homework as they want. You don't generally know how somebody is until you actually start working with them.
Mm-hmm.
He's already had that with Jason. And in terms of how Jace did at the press conference, I thought he did good. I thought what was unique about him, I thought, was when he was asked questions, there was like genuine thought put into the answer. It wasn't a kickback answer or a stock answer. It was thoughtful, and I thought he did a good job. He seemed like a guy who was pretty nervous up there, but in this interview, I think he kind of relaxed a little bit.
That's okay. A little nerves, or I want a guy coming in with a little nerves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, make him be focused. Make him understand that this is huge. This is everything. This is a great opportunity for him, for the Padres, and hopefully for the fans of San Diego. It's all going to work out great. And 6-7 months from now, we're all going to be sitting here going, "How in the world could the Padres sneak Jace Tingler away from everybody else?"
That's the hope.
That's the hope,
yeah.
Right? Is that at the end, the Padres are the ones looking really, really smart. Today, Tony Gwynn Jr. was looking really, really smart, doing his best Dick Cavett, as I said. Here's his interview with Jace Tingler after the press conference.
I'm here live with new Padres manager Jace Tingler. Jace, I mean, listen to your press conference, man. It's been, 17 years, I think, since we last saw each other. Not a lot has changed, man. You can still command a room.
It's been way too long, first of all. And, you know, it can be a little overwhelming, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you look up, you see a ton of people, and, you know, whether you have an anxiety or, you know, whether you're excited, and then all of a sudden I look up and, like, we connect eyeball to eyeball, and it's like...
I saw the head.
It's like, oh, you know, it takes it down. So, you know, it's good. It's, you know, I get the process, right? Like, we got to talk about these things.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, like, I prefer, like, not talking about me, not talking about the staff. Like, you know, I want the players to know, you know, like, at the end of the day, like, it's a player's game.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want it to be about the players. But, you know, today was probably more for my family.
Yeah.
Than I hope it was, like,
got
for
to
me.
See your mom and dad sitting up
it's
there.
It's crazy.
Your wife, your two beautiful boys.
Yeah, they're ornery. They got a lot of the mother in them. Yeah.
Take us through the interview process. I'm not sure if you've been through one before, but I would take this got to be pretty taxing a little bit, right?
Yeah, I'd actually been through you know, one or a couple, like, in the past. I think the challenging thing for this was I made a commitment to manage in Escogido, which is in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. So through the process, you do the first interview, you go back, you manage. I got invited into the second interview.
Man, so you're putting up some frequent flyer
miles. So, yeah. Like, we're logging in, like, some hours. And then as cliche as it is, you know, you go through the second part, and then I was literally on an island. I had no communication with, you know, I wasn't hearing. You don't get feedback either.
Right.
You know, like, you just sit there and, you know, you try to stay off the internet. Like, hey, that's not healthy. It's whatever. I'm getting calls from John Daniels, the Rangers general manager and president. Hey, have you heard anything? No, I haven't heard anything. And so it was a grueling process. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, to get the news the way I got it, and then, you know, for this opportunity, it's a dream come true.
One of the big topics here in San Diego after they let Andy Green go was at least the thought that the Padres wanted to move in a position of bring a manager in that had some experience. Now, you've managed at the lower levels. You've been on a big league staff. You've been a bench coach before, which is pretty much second in command. How are you going to draw from those experiences to help you with a relatively new ball club? I mean, you and I both know how it goes. You want to be able to command that respect as soon as you walk in. How do you go about that?
I think it's a process. I think it's all those things you explained. I think it's drawing back on past experiences and like it, hate it, don't like it. My experiences are a little bit different. I've been in the Dominican Republic for 3 years. I've you know, managed in the States, lower levels. I've found the older players. I've been an assistant GM, but I think all those experiences help you, like, through time. I think the reality is that I don't go into day one expecting these players to trust me.
Right. Like, gotta earn that.
I think that's something earned.
Yeah.
I think it's in all walks of life.
Yeah.
And I think the reality is that I'm probably thankful for, look, you're a player, right? Like, what are you doing when somebody new's coming in? You pick up the phone, you call, hey, what do you got on this guy or whatever? And you know, I may be wrong. Maybe they're saying, you know, like, who knows, like, what they're saying. My point is, like, I feel very confident in, you know, who I've been, consistent with guys. And I, you know, I think, like, some of those players that are reaching out to the Padre players, I think they're coming from a place of love, a good, you know, a good spot. Because the reality is they've touched my life.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I've touched theirs. The reality is they probably touched me more than impacted me more than I've impacted them. But I think they know that I've come, I come ready to work, and I come from a place of love.
You come from a family of coaches, your mom, Diana, your dad, Steve, both Hall of Fame coaches in the state of Missouri.
Yeah.
Everybody I've reached out to, Prince Fielder, Calix Crabb, guys who you've worked with hand in hand, have said the same thing about you, that you have an ability to connect to guys. Where does that come from? Does that come from mom and dad coming from a coaching environment?
Maybe. You know, you grow up in the basketball gym. You grow up, you know, on the field. That's what mom and dad did.
Yeah.
I can relate to a lot of people, especially in baseball. I struggled a lot. Like,
I can relate.
There's not many. And so sometimes it's just listening.
Yeah.
But I'm fascinated with people. I'm fascinated with players. They all come from different walks of life. And I love hearing about it. I love solving problems or being part of the solution. And sometimes that's just listening. I don't know where that comes from, and I can't tell you how humbling it is to hear players say that, because as you go through it, you don't really realize it.
Right. Last one before I let you get out of here. I know you're going to be a busy man today. Clearly, you want to have a strong staff. First time in the National League.
And, yep.
What are you looking for in that staff that you and the rest of the crew are going to build here in San Diego?
Yeah, I want staff members that love players. I want staff members that can build relationships, because the reality is once those relationships are built and there's trust, like, on both sides, now we can handle with hard truths.
Right.
And now that we can coach from a place of love, and whether it's criticism or whether it's praise, I want a group that's not about a coaching group that's not about us. We're about the players. And sometimes that's hard. But I do know the one thing: if you don't have trust and you don't have relationships, you got a chance to go south when you deliver, you know, maybe a message that needs to be heard. But if the players know that you don't care and it's not about them, that seems like a pretty, like, bad recipe for me.
Jace, I'm going to let you get out of here, man. Nice to catch up with you. Congratulations. We got some more catching up to do at some point.
We got a lot more to do. Your smile's still as good as it was like 17 years ago, man.
Thank you, brother.
All right, thank
Congratulations
you.
Again.
All right, thank you.
Sounds like he's going to try to recruit you to do some pinch running or something.
Yo,
it's what it sounds like to me.
That would be a bad mistake on his part.
That would be a big-time mistake. Jace Tingler right now actually live is doing a little piece on MLB Tonight. So he's got his brown Padre gear on. But what is it? Saturday's not the day. Is that still the day that they're debuting the
November
actual
9th.
Official uniform? That's Saturday.
Yeah. Is that this?
That's
it
Saturdays.
Is.
Two Saturdays. My bad. Okay, so
remember,
we still got another
Halloween.
10 days. Because I've seen so many possibilities of what the new logo is going to look like, and everybody's doing something right now.
They just keep faking
so,
it.
So, you know, we'll see what winds up happening.
That is, however, the hat he's wearing right now is the new hat, though.
That is the new hat.
That's the new hat.
The SD with the brown SD with the gold.
If you want to see it, we have it on our Instagram, 97.3TheFan, or we have it on our Twitter, at 97.3TheFanSD.
All right, you know what I really want you to get up on our webpage by the end of the day? I don't know how good you are at stuff like this. I want you to get a picture
of Dick Cavett?
No, a video of me doing the dumbest thing I've ever done in my entire life on this vacation.
Yes.
Do you think that's worthy of putting up there?
I think
for
it's
people
worthy.
To like see and go, oh my God, why did you, oh my God, you did this?
Yeah, because that's what I was saying when I was looking at it.
Yeah, they let us swim with sharks. In Tahiti. Like, no cages, no nothing. Yeah. Well, that was the least of my concerns. We pull up to the spot, and there's like 40 sharks there, and they go, all right, we're going to just jump in here. And they're like, we're what?
Wait, we're doing what? Where's the cage?
Excuse me?
Yeah. Where's the cage?
And then they threw a little chum in there just to warm him up a little bit.
That's the last thing you want to do.
I was like,
when you want to get in the water, is throw more chum in there.
I got one more thing that happened. Right before we got there, we went over to do some more snorkeling around some coral, and I got my leg cut. So my leg was bleeding.
Oh, man.
That's even worse news when you're going in with sharks.
Hell no. The problem with that is that might bring on uninvited sharks. There's no sharks in that area. They're generally, they know about them.
They're invited.
Now these other ones start coming in. It's like, oh, my God.
I smell a little blood out there. It was crazy. We'll try and put a video of that up. But if you ever go to Tahiti, you now have something you have to live up to out there. You have to go on the swimming with the sharks tour, because if I could do it, anybody can. All right, World Series is in the books, so the Washington Nationals are the champs for the first time ever. The city of D.C. has a World Series baseball championship for the first time in nearly 100 years. And Steven Strasburg, he wasn't the only hero, let's be honest, but he was probably the number one guy, and he was the MVP. We'll talk about it when we come back. Also, our NFL picks for this weekend are coming up on the program. We'll hear Tony's interview with A.J. Preller as well, so stick around. Lots still to come till 5. Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
Definitely talking all over this right now. Cause...
And the scary music continues, and people in San Diego are fleeing for cover.
Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, 340 on the dial. World Series champs reside in D.C. The Washington Nationals take the series. I thought it was a terrific series, although the television numbers would say otherwise.
Guaranteed.
Yeah,
if you don't have New York or Chicago or Boston or L.A., you're going to take a hit in the ratings.
This was definitely a notch for old school baseball one time.
Well, and the fact that the road team won every game is absolutely unbelievable. That's never happened in any sport, I don't believe, like at any level of any sport. And that's talking about NBA, Stanley Cup playoffs, and Major League Baseball. For the road team to win every game in a seven-game series, even in the first round,
yeah,
let alone the World Series. That's just crazy. And I just assume that most people thought this was Washington's series after the first two games.
Yep.
And then
I
after
did.
The fifth game, thought it's certainly Houston's series for sure, especially when Scherzer got hurt and couldn't pitch in game five. And then the Nationals bounce back and get them. My whole thing is going back to what I said from the very beginning, Tony. Do not ever tell me again not to make a trade at the trade deadline if I think I can get myself a wild card spot. Because not that the Nationals did that, but don't ever tell me that a wild card can't get you somewhere, because it got them a World Series championship. And I think that the other teams have to realize that one game play-in, yeah, it's a coin flip, but if you win it, you got just as good a chance as anybody else.
See, I'm not saying that you don't make the move, but I think it's also really, really important to remember Washington wasn't supposed to be 19-31. And part of the reason why they were able to overcome that is because they already had a roster set in place. What happened was the offense finally got hot. They got healthy, more importantly. And all of a sudden, you're facing Scherzer, you're facing Strasburg, you're facing Corbin, you're facing Anibal Sanchez. And for the rest of the season, with a hot offense and a healthy team, they got back to where they were. And I'm just saying, I'm certainly not saying you don't make the move, but I would caution teams in thinking that this is a formula to get to a World Series. This team was built for a World Series. The only thing that was question mark would be, how do you provide the offense that you miss with Bryce Harper going to Philadelphia? And the answer is simply an MVP season by Anthony Rendon and a monster season and playoff run by Juan Soto.
I think this always will kind of follow Bryce Harper around a little bit. I don't think there's any way he can avoid it unless he comes back and wins a World Series himself here soon. I think the other thing is Washington did make some moves at the trade deadline, though, Tony. Very quietly, and
yeah,
that's what they did, is they added three or four relievers to that mix.
Hudson was one of them.
Hudson was one of the biggest ones, and he gave Doolittle, he gave them a chance to have two different closers.
Yes.
and they both were
used.
To
play the hot hand.
They were both used in the postseason. Doolittle did his thing, and Hudson did his thing. And that was a big, big acquisition. I'll tell you what, Fernando Rodney did not hurt. He did not hurt the Nationals at all.
Didn't.
He gave them a couple of good innings here and there where they needed it, and they picked him up just for the stretch run. And don't think that Fernando's experience didn't have a little something to do with it. So the Nationals did make a few moves, thinking even though their record was so bad, that if we can piece together this bullpen a little bit, we might be able to make a miraculous run. Because this really is a miraculous run. They're only the second team in the history of Major League Baseball ever to be 12 games below 500 and win the World Series that year. So
shout out to Mike Rizzo, because
he
could have cut bait early end of May. He could have cut bait, but he didn't.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
People were begging him to cut bait.
He didn't, and he didn't cut bait confidently. Like he said, we're going to get healthy, and this is going to be a different ball club. And you got to also commend Dave Martinez, because throughout that tough time when everybody's calling for his job, if you listen to that clubhouse in there, he remained the same exact guy that we got to see the brilliant speeches from at the end of the NLCS and then after the World Series. Shout out to that staff, because they did a terrific job. I also thought it was interesting. Baseball superstitions were at their highest right now, because the Nationals, who won like 8 straight games in those blue tops, lost those 3 at home and said, we are not changing. Houston, who won their Game 7 in Los Angeles in orange,
went
with orange, and it did not work. So.
Did not work, but yeah. No, you're right. And you know, I've asked teams this, because I never understand how they decide which uniforms to wear. Starting pitcher gets to decide what the uniform is going to be for that game. If you're ever wondering about that, the starting pitcher that night gets to pick the uniform. But when a team's on a roll like the Nationals
were,
on with those blue uniforms, every starting pitcher was saying, no, we're wearing the blue and we're sticking with it.
One more thing before we get to AJ. And I promise you, the way Zach Greinke thinks, he probably asked that, what'd you guys wear 2 years ago when you won it? Orange. We're going with orange.
With orange.
All right. Is it you ready for it? All right. Earlier today, after I had Jace Tingler on, I got our GM, AJ Preller, and we discussed everything from what the process was like to how he thinks this staff will round out around Jace Tingler. Here with AJ Preller, fresh off of a new hire here with Jace Tingler. Are you relieved it's over now? At least this part is over?
Definitely. It's it's fun sitting down and doing the interviews and just talking baseball with all different candidates and guys that come from different experience levels and different organizations. But it's definitely time intensive, and you know, you want to give everybody an opportunity to speak, but it's nice to have the manager in place, and now we get moving and talking about staff and most importantly the players.
Forgive me ahead of time. You're probably going to answer some of the same questions you've already answered, but walk us through the process. I mean, you guys let Andy go at the end of the season with about a couple weeks to go, and it seemed as though you guys were, at least the perception was, that you guys wanted to go in a more with a manager who had more experience. Was that a mischaracterization, or did something change along the way as you guys started to go through the process?
You know, I think, we sat down really the first meeting, Ron, myself, Peter, we talked about all different criteria that we were looking for in the next manager. Part of that was experience, but a bigger part was, again, as we mentioned today, like the ability to connect, the ability to, you know, knowledge and content, somebody that's going to bring like work ethic and going to make it fun for the players, and experience is coming all different. You know, it's all different ways that guys bring experience. So we didn't look at it and say, you know, this person has to have been a former big league manager. We want to talk to guys that, obviously have accolades and have big league experience on their resume. But ultimately, when we came through the process, very open-minded, we looked up and felt like Jace checked the boxes for us.
At the very beginning of the process, how big was the list that you guys wanted to go through? I know you spoke on it a little bit during the press conference, but how big was that list?
Yeah, we started with a list that probably was 30 deep or so, and tried to tier that up into kind of an A, B, and C group.
Okay.
You know, thinking that the selection was probably going to come from that A and B group, and then the C group was going to have to kind of work their way in. And then it was hundreds of hours of conversations. You know, a lot of it was to people in different organizations, people in our own organization that, you know, have experiences with different candidates and different people that they think would be successful. And just kind of vetting out that group and trying to get to a manageable group that we wanted to sit down with and interview and walk through a process. And, ultimately we end up sitting down with about a handful of candidates and working our way through it. And that original list, like I mentioned, and then the list we pared it down to, it had ranging from guys that had tremendous accolades in the major leagues to guys that had managed in the big leagues and had been in some different experiences, to some guys that were the minor league grinder, the minor league veteran coach, some up and coming guys that didn't have a ton of experiences, and then and talked to some guys in the college ranks as well.
Yeah, that was interesting. You mentioned you actually talked to some guys in the college realm. I'm not going to ask you who they were, but that seemingly came out of left field. I don't think anybody expected to hear that.
Yeah, again, I think just being thorough, and I think you've seen that a little bit more in professional right here in the last few years, especially at the coaching level. You know, I think obviously pitching coaches and hitting coaches coming from all walks of life, guys are having a ton of, you know, some guys are having all different success levels. And again, what we've talked about as a group is it's just on the individual, and we want to look up and get an individual that we feel like has a chance to impact. And you know, with Jace, very happy with the selection.
You dwindled it down to five. What was it about Jace that put him at the top of the list? Clearly, you guys have had a relationship. He mentioned you really kind of taking him under your wing and showing him the ropes. What was it about Jace Tingler that made him stand out?
Yeah, I think the relationship portion, you know, that always helps, just because, again, like I think when you work with somebody on a day-to-day basis, that's when you really get to know them. You know, I think a lot of times people want to characterize, you know, people a certain way. Until you work with somebody every single day, you don't really know. So I think in this case, it was easier for me to talk to Ron and Peter. Like, I know this person. You know, I think some of the candidates that we talked to and again, that we looked at, there were people either myself or other members of our baseball operations team had direct contact with, direct experiences with, working with them on a day-to-day basis. You know, I think that was part of it. But, you know, the bigger part, again, is he's got great knowledge. He understands the game. He's a detail-oriented person. He's got great passion and energy. He can teach it. I've seen him transfer it to all different levels of players. And I feel like ultimately he's gonna be able to create a style of play with our players and our team that's going to be fun to watch. And, you know, I think ultimately he was the choice for all of those reasons.
Now, I think it's easy to say that the easy part of this offseason is done now. You got your manager. Now you guys start looking at the roster. What are the priorities in terms of how you may want to add to this roster?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think the biggest improvement with our team is going to be, there's going to be like the players that are currently on the roster having better seasons this year. I think some of the, you know, obviously Manny Machado in year two, you know, way more comfortable here knowing what to expect in San Diego. You know, definitely seeing some of the younger players that have come to the big leagues as they go to year two, three, four in their career progression. Usually those are years where you can expect some real growth. We understand there's going to be a lot of work that goes into that, but I think that's, it's going to be very important for us. I think in terms of supplementing the roster, you know, we'll see, honestly. It's hard to make trades. It's hard to line up with free agent signs. You know, we have some flexibility, both in terms of attractive options that teams want to deal for from our system or from our big league club. And then, you know, we'll also from a dollar standpoint, we'll try to allocate those resources well. But, you know, I think our focus is going to be twofold. I mean, a big part of the focus is going to be on improving what's currently in the system and what's currently in the organization on the big league club. Because I think if we're successful, we're going to look up, and it's because that core and that group has had really big years and have taken real steps forward in their progressions. And whether that's a Tatis or Paddock building off a rookie season, whether that's some of the, you know, the pitchers, Lamet, ultimately Lauer, Lucchese taking real steps here in year two, three, four of their progression, whether that's Machado, you know, coming back and delivering an MVP season, whether that's Hosmer looking up and delivering an all-star season. I think that's probably, you know, ultimately, if, you know, we look up and we're successful this year, it's because a lot of those things have happened for us. That being said, you know, it's a time of year free agency trades. We want to supplement the group. I don't think there's one spot where it's like, hey, we need a, you know, I've heard, you know, we need a number one starter, or we need this, you know, this specific player. We need some to fortify some areas. We obviously, from an offensive standpoint, you know, need to have tougher at-bats, better, you know, some more depth to our lineup, you know, the ability to put the ball in play, cut down some punch out, you know, and then from the pitching standpoint, continue to log innings as starters. And yeah. I think a lot of that's going to come from these guys growing and, you know, and growing in their progression, but continuing to look to add some guys that can grow innings, hopefully from within, and we'll look at what's out there on the market.
This was a pretty big hire for the organization. Did you feel any pressure as far as wanting to make the right pick here as it pertains to your manager?
You always want to make the right pick. That's 100%. I think, honestly, like, it's you know, you don't want to be constantly searching for anything and not looking for a manager. I mean, right. We hired Andy with the idea that he was going to be our manager for a long time. You know, I think it is fun, though, to go through a process and just talk baseball and hear from some outside people as well. You know, I think sometimes you get so locked into, you know, your team, your organization, and it's just good to get some perspective sometimes. So that process is always fun. You know, understand that this is, like we mentioned, we've got some really young, talented individual players, and understand the importance of this hire to get somebody and coaches that can grow this into a world championship caliber team. So, you know, to understand, like, that's serious business. It's what we're in the game for, is to win and put a product on the field that fans want to come see. But, you know, I think for the most part, it was fun to go through the process for sure. And, looking forward to somebody that we can grow with.
Last one before I let you get out. I know you got some other things to take care of today. In terms of staff, I asked Jace this in terms of what he was looking for in his staff. How are you guys going to go about, you know, whether you bring guys back from last year's staff or whether it's a new guy? What's going to be the process in how you guys go about that?
Yeah, I think we sat down with all of the coaches at the end of the season and, you know, basically told them all that, you know, they were going to hire the manager first, and then they're going to have the opportunity to sit down with Jace or whoever the new manager was at the time. But we're going to sit down with Jace and talk to them about their experiences, their year, what they bring to the table. Obviously, you know, myself and others in the front office know, you know, kind of what their strengths are. We have a lot of good people here, you know, so we're in that process right now of letting Jace sit down with the current group. And kind of see what fits his needs and see what we feel like, you know, how we want to put a staff together. You know, and I think it's probably going to be, you know, over the course of the next week, 10 days or so, that we're able to put the whole staff together. There'll be some, you know, clearly, you know, like, as we've started the process, there are going to be some members of the staff that we feel like bring a lot of value that, again, Jace has to be on board, but we feel like, you know, they're guys that can help us get to that next level. They're content experts that are going to hold our players accountable and going to make it fun for the guys to go out and work and push and grind. And also, I think we're going to be open to, in a few areas, supplementing from outside. So, you know, we're starting that process right now. Current groups, you know, all sitting down with Jace and myself and others and talking more about what we need to do to grow this thing and get better. And we'll start making some calls here in the next week.
AJ, thank you for your time. Good luck with the rest of the offseason putting this thing together.
Tony, appreciate it. Thank you.
That was AJ Preller.
No, that was Tony Gwynn Jr.
And Tony Gwynn
Jr. At his finest.
Giving the goods. All right, this hour's Grand Slam giveaway keyword is, what a great word, October. OCTOBER. Text that to 72881 for your chance to win a share of $160,000 in the Fan's National Cash Contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck from 97.3 The Fan. All right, first hour in the books. When we come back, glad my partner's here for this next part. Gwynn and Chris's NFL Pick'em is next. He may have covered some ground. Hopefully I can get that ground back. Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.